Today's sermon is titled, Our Purpose, Part 1. So that should hint at there's going to be a part 2 at some point. And the text, which will be our anchor as we talk about our purpose, is going to be Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. So I invite you to grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me there. Or you can follow along on the screen if you desire, but it's going to be Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. There's an outline in our bulletin, as well as some questions that might guide you in your study of this as well. And I want you to hear now the word of the Lord, the authoritative word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this is what we say after our readings. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we dive into your text this morning, consider this great commission and what we are disciples, your disciples, are to do as the church body. Let us boldly enter it and go, Lord, what can I do for the church? Lord, what is it that I am to do as being part of the church body? What is our purpose? And Lord, I invite us to have ears to hear and hearts ready to receive it and hands ready to put things into action. We pray for all these things, and we pray for those members of our church, those who have been with us regularly that are not here today for medical reasons or for any other reason. We just ask, Lord, that you continue to bless them, that you encourage them, that you'll bless them with their fellowship and bless them with the opportunity to come again, and that the corporate body join us and sing such hymns, such spiritual songs that glorify you together. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The month of January is upon us. January 2026. And when we think about January, there's often people who are beginning the process of working on what? Their resolutions from 2025, right? And it's often the same things that they had for 2024, 2023, and so on and so forth. A lot of people do that. And when you look at the numbers, there's some interesting stats. In 2024, Pew Research Center surveyed U.S. adults regarding their New Year resolutions. The majority, 79%, answered that they made a resolution about what you think? Health, exercise, or diet. Second place at 61% was money or finances. And there are entire industries that are marketed based on your New Year's resolutions. They know what the population is majorly going through and go, like, we want to help you make these goals and commitments. Gyms are chomping at the bit. I mean, we don't have a gym around here, so they're not chomping at the bit for us here. But there are gyms chomping at the bit for other people closer into town that they want to get your attention and have you sign up for a year's membership, act right now, and get 1 month off and this gym bag that costs $5. Just spend the money. And I've seen applications, this might be more applicable to us, where there's Duolingo and the New Year's deals that they have. Like, there are people who want to learn a new language, and they're offering a deal that if you act now, it's only going to be $70 instead of $80. Like, I would spend $70 to learn Spanish, but they know you're not. So a lot of people are not going to go through it. They'll see you next year. We here at Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church practice in January what is called membership reaffirmations. Those who are already members of our church take this time at the beginning of the year to restate their commitment, signing their name on the dotted line that, hey, we are members of this congregation. And it also serves as a helpful time to consider what it means to be a member of our church body and see which areas you and I can grow in. Going, this year, I want to grow in this or that. And so as we enter this year, I thought what would be helpful is to take a couple of Lord's days and have us consider our purpose as a church, our purpose as the gathered saints here at Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church. And we look at our constitution, and it has a section regarding purpose that starts off reading like this: to live as and make disciples of Jesus Christ through the process of connect, grow, serve, and go. And that might ring some bells, because if you look to your left, you look to your right, there's signs that say connect, grow, serve, and go. And today, I want us to consider the first two parts of this process: connect and grow. And we will do this, like I said in the beginning, using Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, as the central text where we grow our idea of connecting and growing from. So we start off with connect, and that's because every process has a starting point. Everything you do has the starting line. It is the step one, the opener, the beginning note to the orchestral symphony, the first note. It is the first step of every believer to connect with God. This is the opening first step to be a believer in the God of Scripture and to believe that He is the one and only true and living God, and that Jesus Christ is Lord and our Savior. As we read in the passage, it was the 11 disciples, 11 people who have connected with God, that they have already a relationship with Him, who we also call the apostles, who were given this commission. But as we see in Acts and elsewhere, the fulfilling of the Great Commission was not put into the hands of only the apostles, but the whole church takes part in it. And the purpose of not just Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, members of people who have connected with God, but any church, is to do what we are defining as connecting people with God, which is essentially us going forth and fulfilling the Great Commission. We as a church desire to be used to help people develop their relationship with God. Worship service, evangelism, telling them about who Christ is. It is our desire as disciples of Christ to be used by the Lord to spread the gospel. We make, should make, ought to make the gospel of Jesus Christ the message at the center of all that we do. Now, if you've heard the term evangelical, people like to throw that around. We're evangelicals. We're this, we're that. Well, what does it mean? One thing that it means is an emphasis on the salvation found through Christ Jesus. In short, we who are connected with God through Christ see it as our purpose to help others connect with God through Christ. Disciples going forth and making disciples of Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is also true that every disciple is to seek and be connected with other believers. The graphic we have on the wall reads somewhere in there, if I can see that far: following that initial step of salvation, a disciple then needs to be connected and integrated into the body of Jesus, the church. I don't want you to miss out a subtle detail in Matthew 28:16, where it says that it was 11 disciples. I mean, we might go, yeah, there's 11 disciples. Okay, move on. It's not just one disciple. It's not just one disciple that's gathered, but all that remained of the 12. They were not all scattered at this time, like after Jesus was betrayed and arrested. But instead, you read in Luke this helpful passage regarding the actions of the first two witnesses to Jesus' tomb being empty. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And I bring this up to highlight point that the women brought what they saw at the tomb, not to just individuals. Oh, we're going to go over here. We're going to go over here. We're going to go over here. They told these things to the apostles and to all the rest. The beginnings of the early church found in the pages of God's holy word. And it highlights what the Lord desires, that the people of God be bonded together. It is hard for me to hear anyone say that they are desiring to be obedient to God's word, but then neglect connecting, fellowshipping, building relationships with brothers and sisters in a gathered church body. I just don't see the solo lone wolf Christianity that is so prevalent in our culture being promoted in God's word. But let me tell you this, I've yet to witness lone wolf Christianity actually work out in someone's favor. That should make sense to us when we understand that God wants us to be part of a church body. And when we go against what God wants, the outcomes are never favorable. So make it a point, beloved, to get connected with your church body. If you've been here for years and you've never thought about it, or if you've been here for months, consider what it means to be a member of a church. Build relationships with your fellow saints and build each other up. And so we connect with God, we connect with other believers, and now we also seek to connect with the lost. That's part of our purpose as a church. Those who do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we want them to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We go out and tell them. The 11 were already disciples, and now Christ is telling them to go and make what? More disciples. And that seems very clear to me as part of the commission. The church is to proclaim the gospel of he who is our foundation, he who is our cornerstone. And I want you to imagine the problem. We talked about this in my own Sunday school class. Imagine the problems that would occur if someone removed the foundation of a building. And we talked about earthquakes in California's history. We got a lot of them. That absolutely destroyed areas in cities where there was not a proper foundation laid. Just pictures of destruction. Sure, for a time, the house was nice looking. Like, if you think about houses built in San Francisco, houses built in Los Angeles, areas where like, this is great. It looks nice. This is a $3 million house. What is it going to go wrong that we're right next to the San Andreas fault line? It's just great. But for a time, the house was nice looking. But as soon as the earthquake hit, that which looked on the outside as nice was revealed not to be so at its core. We, with Christ as our solid rock upon which we stand, ought to desire to reach out to those who are building their house on shifting sand. See our neighbors and go, "What you building over there?" Like, well, you should really build it on Christ. What you're going to build it on, when the storm comes in, when the earthquake happens, when the fire rolls in, is going to be devastating. But it's going to be so much more devastating if you are without Christ. Tell them about the firm foundation found in Jesus Christ. Yet there is a hesitancy in us. A hesitancy in us and a reluctance to open our mouth at times regarding gospel truth. And why is that? We have such a sure foundation, but there's a hesitancy to tell people about the foundation. There's an illusionist, a magician, Las Vegas magician, who throughout his career has been outspoken about his atheism. He is not afraid to talk about his belief that there is no God. But he tells of a time when a Christian came to one of his shows and he dropped off a Bible. Here you go. Here's a Bible. And when he tells this story, you can tell that there is a deep affection for this man. Why is there a deep affection for this Christian? Because he knows what this man believes. He knows what Christianity believes. Christians believe that this magician without Christ is going to face the wrath of God, is going to face eternal suffering and torment if it did not confess that Christ is Lord and Savior. That he was moved by how much care this Christian had for him. That he would buy a Bible, get a ticket for this show, and then walk up and go, I'm giving this to you. You have a copy of God's word. Read it. Let me ask you, how many lost people around you and I know that you and I believe that they're on the same track as this illusionist, Pinjalet, right? That they're on the same destination if they don't come to Christ? How many of them know that this is what you believe, that this is what Scripture teaches, and they know that you've never told them about the gospel at all? It's like taking, if we want to look at the song, This Little Light of Mine, there's that line, hide it under a bushel. No. All right, thank you. We don't want to hide it under a bushel. We don't want to hide the foundation that we stand upon. We want to tell people about it. Connecting with the lost might be hard to do, but you are not alone. Remember, you are not alone in fulfilling the Great Commission. It is a job given to the church made up of fellow believers who can help you, encourage you, and do that which you are unable to do. And we'll see also that Christ is with you. Perhaps there's those people who you've told the gospel to time and time again, and they time and time again go, no interest, left the chat, I'm gone, no more. But then here comes a new contender. Here's a new member of the church. And then they have an interaction that you've never seen before. Taking a different avenue of proclaiming the gospel, using words, using rhetoric that you've never heard of before. And then that's what connects. Different strokes for different folks. Or if you struggle in how to do evangelism, go like, I understand that we need to connect with the lost and tell them about Christ. I just don't know how to do it. You know, there are people and resources available to train up the body in evangelism. And I know, I get it. Like, if I don't know how to do something, I'm hesitant to then go out and do it. Like, I want the step-by-step procedure. I want the standard operating procedures before I move forward. I want the IKEA instructions. Well, we have people that have blessed the church with years of service, and they go, this is what worked for me in evangelizing. There's people in our church going, this is what worked for me to tell people about Christ. We need to be ready to simply seek it out. If we have questions, if we're struggling with something, how do we do this? How do we do that? Seek it out and pray that the Lord will provide us with the wisdom, strength, and courage we need. Don't just simply Google something and go, how do I do this? Or ask ChatGPT, I guess, is the new thing. Definitely don't do that. It's just going to repeat what you want to hear. Instead, ask the body that you are a part of. And if the body doesn't know, go like, who does know? Who can we get here to instruct us? And then with gladness in our hearts, we should be motivated to tell the lost about he who goes after the lost. Connect with the lost by telling them of he who is the one that finds the lost. With the gratitude that comes from a heart redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, a gratitude for his faithfulness, let us go therefore and make disciples of Jesus Christ. If we are so thankful and grateful and have a heart that is just continually seeing the grace and mercy of the Lord in our life, we should develop hearts that just want to burst out of the seams and tell people around us. Why are you so happy? Or how are you able to handle this affliction? Because of Christ. How do you handle being a parent? I look to God's word. I show them mercy and grace as Christ has shown me. And our children need a lot of mercy and grace. Consider this. We need to have this connection with the lost as it's a big deal for the church, part of our purpose. Now, I want to draw your attention to the second part of our process of living and making disciples of Jesus Christ. We just considered connecting with God, connecting with believers, connecting with the lost. Now we consider growing and growth as part of our purpose. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 reads this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in that verse 20, the concluding part of this great commission, we read Christ saying that his disciples are to do what? Teach these disciples who are being made. Go teaching them. Teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded. And the question to you and I, is what has God has commanded? Let me ask you, how are we to know what Christ commanded, what God has commanded? Beloved, thanks be to God that we aren't left in the dark, but we have given his written word. So when we read, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, how shall we know these things? How shall we know what Christ has commanded, what God's word says, by reading and studying God's word? And therefore, it is an important purpose of the church to help believers grow in knowing God's word. We as a church desire to see people grow in their knowledge of Scripture. And that involves us reading his word regularly and also studying his word. We encourage folks to grab a reading plan. I've been talking about that in the beginning of the year. Like, hey, we have reading plans in the back. You can get reading plans online. You can just open up your Bible, start Genesis 1, and start reading. We as a church desire this. We desire people to read their Bibles and read it at a speed that they're comfortable with, you know. There's some people that are able to read at a faster pace than I. There's some people that have to read at a slower pace, like me. Read at a speed that is comfortable for yourself, and we should be comfortable with challenging ourselves. So you catch that? Read at a speed that is comfortable for you, but be comfortable with challenging yourself. Read it alone. Read it with friends. Read it with family. Read it with the church. Read, read, read. Develop a habit of opening God's word. And have a habit where you're not always going, I'm going to open this and we're going to do a word study. Or I'm going to start seeing what's the Greek behind it. Just read it. Develop a habit of just reading it to familiarize yourself with the text. To develop a knowledge of it. And let me also throw in there that part of that which develops our knowledge of God's word is a practice of memorization. This is a goal of mine this year to really work on, because I'm terrible at memorizing scripture. I'm just going to tell you flat out, I can barely remember what happened a few days ago. Like, my wife could tell you that I have a planner in my pocket. I have a planner at home. I've got alerts on my phone because there's so much going on. As I'm sure there's so much going on in your life. My brain seems to just want to make those things disappear. But this goal of mine is to grow in memorizing the word of the Lord. And why is that? Because it's important. It helps. There are these booklets by the Navigators that I think will prove to be helpful. You probably have heard these, like the memory topic passages to memorize, and I've always enjoyed it. It's going to be helpful, at least for me. But in the end, we all need to be growing and knowing God's word, pursuing having knowledge of God's word, having it to where when the situation arises, you know what God's word says. Keeping God's word in our thoughts. We also need to grow in understanding his word. You might know what a text says. Like, you might recite, you know, I didn't put this in here, so this is going to be a deleted scene. If this doesn't work out, we can just edit it, right? So there's a YouTube clip of Oprah in the 90s or early 2000s, right, where there's that young kid preacher. And the young kid preacher, don't ask me what my thoughts about that, but kid preacher goes up and he starts shouting a memory verse, a Bible verse. And then he sits down and you hear people go, "That's right, that's right." And then the question comes, "Okay, what does that text mean?" And the kid's silent. The kid is silent and he goes, "The text means what it means." We're like, "Okay, but you need to help me understand." The kid can't do it. So you might know what a text says. You might have it memorized. You might be able to recite it. But there's times where, like, it's not just easy. It's simply going copy and paste. That's what the text says. Do you understand it? If not, then we need to study it to understand it. And this is why we encourage folks to not just read God's word, but take the time to slow down and study the text at a deeper level. We just got through an exposition of Philippians that I said in the beginning it was just going to take a couple of months, right? Surprise. It took 6 months for us to exposit Philippians. But I bet you, if you went, "You know what? I'm going to just read the letter of Philippians one night. I'm just going to sit there and read it." It's only 4 chapters. It's only a handful of chapters. How many minutes does it take to read 4 chapters of God's word? Now, I'm not saying do either or, but I'm saying each serves a purpose in our growth. It serves a purpose to sit down and read the entirety of a book in one sitting. It serves a purpose to sit and hear the letter being read to you. And it serves a purpose to go verse by verse in the studying of God's word. It all helps us to understand. Also, we need as believers to not just be studying the text ourselves, which we should do, but we also need the help of others to teach and instruct us. And this is why I believe the Great Commission includes in it that disciples are to be teaching them being other disciples. Disciples are to be teaching other disciples. And there's a doctrine of the church known as the clarity of Scripture, if you've heard that before, which means that the essential message, like salvation and matters of godly practice, are clear and understandable to the most ordinary person. One of the reasons why people in the past, mind you, wanted the Bible to be written in the common language was so that even the plowboy could read it. Because the gospel was believed to be so clear that you don't need Latin to block it out from people. Put it in the common language so that anyone can pick it up and go, "That's what it's saying. What must I do to be saved? Who is this Christ that this Bible is talking about?" However, there's still teaching involved in the believer's life. We don't know everything, and we won't get everything right the first time. Take, for instance, Acts 8, 27 through 31. "And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'Yes, I do. I don't need you.'" No, he goes, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And you can read the rest on your own later. As we grow in understanding God's word, we will naturally come across believers who will help teach us. And it's so valuable. You go, hey, I was just studying God's word, and this is what I was reading this passage, and I need some help. I think this is what it means. And it's very humbling that when you do that and someone looks at you, you go, no, it doesn't mean that at all. You know how many times that's happened? They will be like Philip to the eunuch, coming alongside us going, this is what the text means. Again, we won't get everything right the first time. You might have beliefs regarding what God's word says that a decade from now, you won't even remember. You're like, wait a minute. 10, 15 years ago, I was hardcore about this. And then maturity, some instruction from others comes along, and you go, huh, ain't that something? Understanding God's word can take some time. Deliberately slowing down and diligently studying it takes time. Christ's use of the word teaching implies an ongoing action. How many of us have had the experience of teaching before? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, just a kid raising their hand going, I've taught. I'm like, okay. Okay. What school do you teach at? Anyways, so how many of us had the experience of teaching before? How many of you feel like there were days where the day before you just spent the entire hour drilling in to a student's mind, this is what is important, like 2 + 2 = 4, something like that. Fill it in the blank. But then the next day you go, they don't remember anything. did I do something wrong? Did I teach them wrong? How many of you feel like there were days where you sounded like a broken record going over a lesson you just went over the day before? So we ought to not be surprised that teaching scripture can take some time, and growing in understanding it beyond the essentials takes time as well. We take the time to know God's word, and not just know it, but to understand it, and then we are to also grow in our obedience to it. In verse 16, you see that the apostles went to Galilee to the mount to which Jesus had directed them. He directed them to do this. So in their obedience, they went to Galilee and to a specific mountain in Galilee, no less. They obeyed as they were directed by he who they were disciples of. And we also see from the book of Acts how the apostles obeyed Christ and the commission he gives by being witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Folks, it is part of the Christian life to grow in our obedience to God. It is part of our sanctification where the Holy Spirit reveals indwelling sin and then places where we need to go grow. And then by the power of God, we pursue growth in our personal holiness. The knowledge and understanding we have of Scripture ought to drive us to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Both because we are shown and read about the depths of the Father's love as we see in the giving of his Son to die on our behalf to wash our sins away, but also because we read what the Lord commands and with hearts that desire to obey, go wherever you lead, Lord, I will go. So I ask you, what are the things that God is convicting your heart about? What are those things that you are seeing in Scripture that the New Testament believer is to do, and here you are struggling with it? You go, this is what God's word says. Okay, I know what God's word says. I understand it. I'm floundering. Unless you feel like I'm singling you out, or only a few people out, those who are in odd-numbered rows. I'm singling you. No. We all have areas that we are struggling with. We all have areas where the trappings of old Adam weigh heavy upon our necks. We all have areas that we can grow in. Each and every one of us probably has a list of things that we are struggling with. It's not just one thing, but it's like you pull the page down, like here's issues 1 through 12, and then there's multiple pages. Obeying God's word regarding being good stewards with our money and giving. Obeying his word on how we speak to our spouses. Have you think about that? Like, oh, I just struggle with showing mercy and grace in my communication. Not just to spouses, but to people in general. Are you the church curmudgeon? Are you the one that kids are afraid that when they kick their soccer ball over the fence, they will never see it again? How many of us, after we've gone through Philippians, left thinking about ways we can do fellowship better, ways we can do conflict resolution better, ways that we can communicate with our brothers and sisters in the Lord better? So perhaps I ask you, with this time where we consider our membership to the church and membership reaffirmation cards in hand, tied with us writing our name down, like, I will be a member of this church, may we also have the desire, a commitment to grow in the knowledge of God's word, grow in our understanding of it, and grow in our application of it, grow in our obedience to his word. Make the commitment to get to know your fellow church members better and keep track of their different prayer requests. You know, it's not far-fetched to just grab a little journal and go, what are prayer requests that so-and-so has? Go like, Elliot, what can I be praying for you this week? And then in this journal, you write it down, you put her name, you put the date, and then now you don't have to keep it in the mind. You have it written down so that when you do prayer, you can open up like, these are prayer requests. A little helps for you. That's a little help. Okay. As we grow in obedience to the word of God and our sanctification progresses, may we grow in seeing God's word as not burdensome, but something we delight in as we meditate upon it, upon scripture, both day and night. All right, so as we covered these two things, next week we'll look at the final two. But as we looked at connect and grow in our process of fulfilling our purpose as a church today, and by the end, you might be thinking, okay, the Lord desires his church to do these things, and here I am, a member of this church, a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I see I need to work on this, I need to work on that. I got a lot of homework to do, okay? And it could be discouraging to think about. Just like if you have clutter in the house, how discouraging it could be when it's just all over the place. Where did we start? I don't know. It's just everywhere, so you're just not going to do it. I want to just conclude with two things for you to consider. First, consider how the disciples are described in verse 17. Verse 17, after the 11 followed Jesus' direction, we read, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. You read that right. Some of the apostles rightly worshiped Jesus when they saw him. Others were like Thomas and doubted. Can you imagine how one could have Jesus right in front of them and still experience doubt? We might not experience doubt, but we might experience fear to share the gospel. We might have a worry or anxiety that pops up in our mind, and it restrains us from connecting with believers in the lost. And sure, we might have doubt. And sure, those things that we are hesitant to do could be motivated by a doubt. We're checking the security of the foundation wire. We're tapping it, making sure that there's no patches. Sure, that could be motivated by doubt, that you're not sure about the foundation you yourself stand on, so you wouldn't go tell others about it. It might or might not be that. Regardless, whether you are a disciple that is in the presence of Christ who still doubts, or a disciple in the presence of Christ who worships him, Christ's words remain, for they were spoken to the entirety of the disciples. He started off his Great Commission with the words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Those words are truly worthy of praise. And those words are truly a source of reassurance for doubters. They are words that remove anxiety. Christ is Lord. He has all authority, both in the heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom. Our Lord reigns, and he is robed in majesty. So if you are finding that you need to work on some of these things we've talked about today, do so with a heart that is strengthened, knowing that we are doing so as disciples of he who sits at God's right hand, Jesus Christ. Know that as you dive into your Bible, go, "I'm going to make a commitment to read the Bible more." You are diving into the word of our Lord, who has authority over all things. Do these things. Fulfill the Great Commission. And with the second consideration taken from the comforting words of Christ at the end of verse 20, hear this. Know that Christ said to his church, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Let me remind you, Christian, that we are not left alone in the dark by ourselves, grasping at shadows, pursuing, living, and making disciples. You're on your own. Good luck. Our King is with us. We as the church can go forth and connect, grow, serve, and go, knowing that, behold, the King of Kings is with us. Go forth, grow in your knowledge of him who gives himself a ransom for us. Understand the humbling, sacrificial nature of such mercy and grace, and go forth and practice humility, sacrifice, mercy, and grace in such a way that pleases our Lord God Almighty. Jesus Christ, Lord over heaven and earth, being with his bride, the church, his disciples, is a testimony to the faithfulness of our God. Out of all the New Year's resolutions you may have, may you make one where you spend more time every day contemplating and giving thanks for the great faithfulness of our God. Let me just throw that in there at the end. Consider making this year one where you will grow and reaching out to the lost and telling them about the faithfulness of our God, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And endeavor to be people whose minds are held captive by the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the purpose of our church, may we have hearts that desire to grow and grow in such a way that we will proclaim the gospel to the lost, that we will desire to read your word more and desire to be fed by it more, that it will not be an afterthought, but it will have a primary place in our hearts and primary place in our schedule day in and day out, so that we may meditate on your word and glorify you and learn all that it says about our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for our Savior. We give you thanks for this Lord's Day. And in Christ's name we say, amen.